Now entering Nerdist.com.
Everyone, thanks again for downloading. Today we learned. This is episode number 15. Today we learned number 15. We got a great guest, got a great show for you. Our guest today is Jake Weissman. He's a very, very funny comedian, and you'll notice that in our little discussion of facts and trivia. Once again, this episode is brought to you by HostGator. HostGator is your one-stop website shop. HostGator makes it simple to get your professional website online and quick. They have plans starting at just $3.47 a month. That's a really good rate. It's a really good price. And let's face it, getting a good .com is hard to do. A .net domain powered by Verizon, on the other hand, still has a ton of awesome names. If you want a creative name and somebody else already has it, get the .net and show them who is boss. You have your domain. Now it's time to build your website. Use HostGator's drag-and-drop builder or WordPress. No need to code. HostGator makes it easy. Get your site up and running with just a few clicks. They make it easy peasy, lemon squeezy, as the rhyme says in grade school. So there you have it. Head over to HostGator.com. Once again, that's HostGator.com, HostGator.com. Buy some hosting, get some .nets, and use the coupon code LEARNED30, LEARNED, then the number 3 and 0, to get an extra 30% off and help support the show. We want to thank you guys for downloading and supporting the show, and we also want to thank HostGator for sponsoring the show. And we want to thank all the listeners, and we want to thank our guests for being on the show. We want to thank History Books for providing us with facts for this show. So once again, today we learn number 15 with Jake Weissman.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Alrighty, and that was the intro. Again, yeah, as you guys
so,
know.
So please use that offer code. welcome back to another exciting episode of Today We Learned with your delightful hosts, Razzle and Dan. I'm Dan.
And I am Razzle.
And we are joined today by a very special guest, the delightful Jake Weissman. Jake, thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
Very excited. I like facts.
Thanks for joining us, yeah. So, Jake, I don't know, for those of you that don't know Jake, he's in an internet sketch group called Women, which is very, very funny.
They really funny
just
stuff.
Released their new video, hour-long drama.
Hour-long TV drama.
Fucking hilarious. If, like, soon as this is done, if you're at work or you're at your computer, check it out, watch it, pull it up on YouTube. Women Comedy, I believe, is there.
Womencomedy.com.
Great. It's, they're very funny videos, so check those out.
Thanks
he's also
a lot,
very
guys.
Funny stand-up
Appreciate
as well.
Appreciate it.
Jake, so we, at the start of every episode, we tend to start off with a fact about yourself that that your fans or your listeners might not know, or something you've recently learned to share with our fans who like learning things as well. So have you learned anything recently, or do you have anything about yourself you might want to share, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I love cats a lot.
Okay.
I think about them all the time, and I recently just started watching My Cat from Hell.
Okay.
Which is a series on Discovery. It's also on Netflix. And it's really funny. But it's also, like, not funny. It's kind of lame. But also the best show ever. It's basically take these, like, crazy cats, and they just try to make them better. And they often do. Because a lot of people think cats are shitty, but they just need to be treated. Like, they just need to be understood. Anyway, I've been reading a lot about cats. And I've had cats forever. I have cats now. And one thing they like to do, people call it making muffins.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? When they're on, like, if they're sitting on your chest, they'll just, like, move their paws up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down forever.
Okay.
And you're like, what are you doing? You know, it's like, just sit down.
Yeah.
but they're moving it, and it makes you very conscious of your fat and stuff like
okay.
that.
Okay.
And that's because they think, partially because, like, that's what they had to do to their mother when they wanted to get milk out of the mother.
Oh.
You know what I mean? They would, like, push the belly and stuff. But they also, it's because when they get, like, the edges of the claws, like, sort of into your, like, skin, it, like, it marks the territory. And it, like, forces the chemicals to bond you together.
Okay.
So
wow.
it's like partially, like, they think you're their mother, or they're going back to that, or wanting something from you like it's their mother. But also it's to bond you and get their, like, kind of their chemicals inside you to mark their territory.
So, like, a thirst for affection.
It is a thirst for affection. Okay. Actually, like, very poetic and accurate. Huh. So, way to go.
That's something I won't really get to experience because I'm allergic to cats. Yes, where me too. I have the phenomenon of I want to pet them desperately, they will make my eyes swell up.
You just need to get over it, man.
Yeah, I'll just suck it up. I just don't want it bad enough.
I'm allergic to cats, but I can be around cats for like an hour or 2 hours at a time. Mm-hmm. And my buddies have a cat who is just his name's Cobra, and he's like the smartest cat I have ever seen. Like, he'll figure out how to, like, not only is he's almost like a dog where he's trained to he's cognizant enough to know that he can sneak up on people and scare them, and he also knows how to, like, he'll break into, like, cabinets, and he'll, like, they live in an apartment, and the cat will figure out how to get into, like, the air vents and stuff like that and just snoop around and just hang out in the weirdest places. And it's, like, I don't have any cats because I'm allergic to cats, but they fascinate me as well.
I honestly think that if cats didn't exist, I would just end my life immediately. Yeah.
Well, you have
the three cat moon on there.
Two keyboard cats in space, yeah. I mean, it's a serious thing. It's
really
like for some
like
people
cats.
And wolves. Like, yeah. It's that weird obsession where you're like, what's wrong with them? And they don't really know, but they just follow their instinct.
Yeah. That's now, how many cats do you own?
I have two cats. They're sisters from the same litter, Shiksa and Pebbles, and they're angels.
Okay.
Your angels.
What are their names? Oh,
Shiksa and Pebbles.
Yeah,
okay. If anyone doesn't know what Shiksa is, I'm a Jew, and so if I were to date a woman who's not Jewish, my mother would call her a Shiksa. It's like a derogatory term, and so I thought it'd be a good name for a cat.
That's awesome. last year, I run a house in Culver City, and last year a litter of cats were born under our house.
Really?
Yeah, and they were there for maybe a month and a half, 2 months, and we'd give them like water and milk or whatever like that, and there was three of them, and we figured like we should name them or whatever. So I ended up naming them. The first one was it was kind of like orangish and blackish. So I ended up naming that one Battle Cat.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other two looked very similar. They were gray. There were two off gray colors, and we named it Aliens. And then the third one we named Versus Predator.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. I just like naming animals. I don't have any pets of my own, but I
always wanted to name roads. I want to be a road namer.
Yeah.
I'd like to go around the world naming roads.
Well, the first step there's that you can ease into it by adopting a highway.
You're right. I can. But then, I hear that when you adopt highways, a lot of them, like, get really pissed at you and run away when you're 15 and do drugs and stuff. And it's like, I don't want to do that.
You're not my real board of transportation.
You're not my real.
They end up searching for their other highway, and it's like this highway with potholes in Missouri, and it's just like a mess.
I'm glad to bring up Missouri, because Missouri is a state,
mm-hmm.
right?
Missouri, go on.
Missouri, as far as I know, the name of Missouri is Missouri.
Or Missouri.
Or Missouri.
I like to say Missouri.
Yeah. Or in The Simpsons, I'll be cold and dead before I recognize Missouri. It was a Grandpa Simpson quote. But anyways, I recently learned this about the state of Rhode Island. Now, it's commonly referred to as the state of Rhode Island, but the actual official name, Rhode Island has the longest official name in any out of any state in the union. The actual name, are you ready for this, Jake and Dan? It's Rhode Island and Providence Plantations, and that's the longest official name of any state in the union. And a little bit of trivia about that. On June 5th, 2009, the General Assembly voted to allow the people to decide whether to keep the name or drop Anne Providence Plantations due to the misperception that name related to in slavery. But the referendum election was held on the subject during November 2nd, 2010 elections, and people overwhelmingly, 78% to 22%, voted to keep the original name. So 78% of voters in Rhode Island and Providence Plantations voted to keep the name of the state, Rhode Island and Providence Plantations.
I would keep it too.
That's a. Like,
it's just anything to make myself more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like if you vote for it, that means you know the fact, and then you have something to bring up when you leave Rhode Island.
Yeah. Where are you from? Rhode Island and Providence Plantations.
I'm from New York. I'm from New York and Water Park, New Jersey. Yeah.
Like, I'm just from Michigan. I wish I could. I wish there was like a. I'm from Michigan.
Michigan and assorted Great Lakes.
Yeah. I'm gonna start saying that. I'm from Michigan and the assorted Great Lakes.
It is weird, with the word plantation, it's like there's certain words, especially as a white guy, where you're like, avoid.
Yeah, you know? You're like, I won't even eat at soup plantation because it just worries me.
My privilege as a white man is just I don't think about race. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I don't care what anyone is. I hate people for their personalities. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I don't, but it's very odd. There are a few things where I'm like, okay, I just won't do that. Just tell me what I shouldn't do and I'll avoid it. I don't want to get in any trouble. I don't hate anyone. Just leave me alone.
Yeah.
And plantation is one of those words.
Yeah, it's like, as much as I would love to own whatever a plantation, whatever the land mass of a plantation is, I'd like to own that, but I'm not going to say.
What would
you
do with the land?
I don't know. That's a very good question.
Do you really want to take care of that land?
Well, if I had – okay, here's the thing. If I had the money to own the land, I would have money to pay people to take care of it. Rob Riggle, I heard – I think it was the Nerdist podcast a few years ago. He's got like a huge chunk of land up in the valley or whatever that he lives in. I could be Rob Riggle or someone similar to that has just, you know, a good chunk of land. Because as much as I love living in Los Angeles, like I have a house in Culver City that we rent and it's – at least over in that area, it's still quiet. It's still relatively away from the hoopla and all the, you know, all the ruckus that is Los Angeles, but it's still relatively quiet. Now, if I had the money, I wouldn't mind living somewhere up in like the valley or something like that to where it's still even further away. I can still commute to everything like that, but you do have a chunk of land, like you get dirt bikes or something like that. Like, you know,
you cultivate dirt bikes.
You know, I mean, you can, well, like in Michigan, my grandfather's got a chunk of land and it's, you know, you can do a lot of stuff. Now, he doesn't have a plantation-sized land. Like, I mean, I guess I'm talking maybe acre. I don't know. I mean, plantations, I guess, were huge, right?
Like a hacienda
no,
size?
No, shockingly, all very small. All very little, tiny pieces.
Little
of
known
land.
Facts.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't... You know, it's true, I guess. What would you do on that?
But no, again, I was just curious.
If I had the money... If in a perfect world I had the money to own plantation-sized land, I would have, like, a roller coaster, or I would have, like... I would have some... You know, I would... have cars or go-karts or whatever.
I would have toys.
If I had the money to own that type of property, I would definitely have toys.
I'd grow tobacco and sorghum.
Yeah. I would have a nice house, too. You know what I mean? But if I had that land...
I think I would just... I feel like getting a lot of money in America is basically just getting enough money to make people have less and less access to you. That's what money is.
Absolutely.
And I would just build a moat.
The freedom. We were just talking about that.
Tom Brady, his house in Brentwood, has a moat around it.
Yeah. That's the best.
He's living the dream.
A moat.
Absolutely.
I just want a moat. Just so I could constantly bring up the word moat.
Yeah.
What an underused word.
Just especially like if you're given directions, you know.
Take
a corner off of...
Or the Google Maps would be like, take the moat.
Lower drawbridge.
Yeah. I just think that like there are certain words from the past that don't make any sense. Like landlord is so intense. You know what I mean? But moat, why did that go away?
Yeah.
There need to be more moats.
Because nobody has moats.
Mm, that's a mistake, though. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, less sidewalks, more moats.
More moats.
Okay. If a plantation is a sizable amount of land, how big of a moat do you need? Is it like one shovel width? How wide of a moat?
As big as the Black Sea, I would say. Yeah.
That's your baseline.
I have no idea how big the Black Sea is.
Yeah,
it could be very small.
It's about the size of a decent moat.
Yeah.
Yes. Moat. I just want to be able to tell people, cross the moat, and then just keep going, and you'll see my house.
Yeah. And the portcullis may be lowered, but the Haida key is underneath the stables.
Now, if you had a plantation-sized land, you could have multiple moats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's tough. But then which moat do you use?
You use them all.
No, this is...
Listen, you use them all, and you have them like a spiral, like the Lazy River at MGM in Vegas.
Okay, so you've thought about this.
Well, just now. I'm just thinking.
No, I don't believe you. I think this is your fantasy.
You haven't even seen his moat binder.
Seen my moat. I have a binder full of moat designs.
If you took off your shirt and over your heart was the word moat, I would pay you so much money. Like, I'd be like, this would be incredible. This is like your dream.
Well, have we got a
surprise
for you?
Just a blue line going all the way around his body.
This is how I get men to take off their tops.
Yeah. Seamless. Well, it's actually working.
If I was one of those magicians that could, like, write somebody's name on a playing card, and all that, I would learn how to write their name tattooed on my chest so I could just do that.
Yeah.
Just need to have a tiny little pencil. Yeah. Then.
Well, while we're talking about moats and land masses, and I did mention Vegas, like the MGM, have a moat like the MGM Grand in Vegas. Across from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, owned by the same company as a casino resort known as New York, New York.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody's been to Las Vegas. I've been to Las Vegas. But the New York, New York Casino and Resort has, as their shtick, their gimmick is, it's themed like New York, the state of New York. It's themed like New York City. It's got, you know, things representing New York.
It's like being there.
It's like being
but
there.
But in Vegas.
But in Vegas. Now, one of those things is the Statue of Liberty. Now, here's a fun fact about the Statue of Liberty at the New York Casino in Las Vegas. I mail my rent checks. We recently got a new owners of our house, so I need to mail our rent checks to Irvine, where mm-hmm. their office is. Now, lately, I've been using what's known as a forever stamp. My roommate bought a bunch of those, so they never... The forever stamps are...
You buy them one time at a set price, and then you never have to worry about whether the postage goes up in value Correct. Or down in value?
Correct. Okay. Yep. It's because obviously postage keeps inflating, and instead of just keep inflating in the postage stamps, you just buy these forever stamps, and you can use them forever. Now, on the forever stamp is the Statue of Liberty, right? Now, here's a fun fact about the forever stamp and the Statue of Liberty in Las Vegas. The U.S. Post Office forever stamps with a depiction of the Statue of Liberty is not actually of the Ellis Island Statue of Liberty, but of the New York, Las Vegas Statue of Liberty. The United States Post Office issued the Statue of Liberty forever stamps on December 1st, 2010. The stamp shows the replica of the Statue of Liberty on the Las Vegas Strip rather than the original Statue of Liberty in New York. The error was not noticed until March of 2011, and the error was identified by Sunapix, a stock photo agency in Texas, who had the rights to that photo of the Statue of Liberty. 10.5 billion of the error stamps were produced.
Just a few.
The mistake is the largest run of any error on a postage stamp. That's hilarious.
Well, I think the way you could tell right off the bat is that she's holding a giant novelty drink instead of a torch.
Yeah. Imagine what kind of person you'd have to be to find out that information and be really upset by it.
Yeah.
Just be like, what? What was the mistake?
Does that devalue my stamps?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the person who figured that out is the most attentive and most annoying person ever.
Yeah.
Like, what a pointless... Who cares?
Finally, someone's being pedantic about postage.
Also, who goes to Vegas and is like, man, I'm in Vegas, but... I desperately want to be in New York right now. Like, I can go to New York probably for the same amount of money and probably won't lose any money in New York. I'm going to lose it all here, but I need to be in New York when I gamble.
But I need there to be more buffets.
Yeah, more buffets.
In every direction.
That's what I need.
It's, I mean, I've been to New York. I used to go to Vegas a lot. I used to be a gambler, and I would do all right. But New York, definitely their tables, as far as gambling goes, they did have, when I used to go there a lot, their tables were nice. They had, you know, low minimums, and they were easy to play, and I could do really well in New York versus some of the higher end tables. During the day, a lot of casinos will have high minimums that you need to play X amount. Like, if you want to play blackjack, you got to play like $15 to $20 a hand, which I would tend to graduate to, whereas New York would occasionally have like $5 to $10 minimum hands. So
they should have, in New York, they should have just like people that come in on the subway and ask for money.
Yeah.
And they should have like people. You should have to sit super cramped next to someone else when you gamble, and they can't look at all like you. And
playing blackjack next to, like, they hire people that look like homeless people to come up and be like, oh, excuse me.
They pump genuine hot garbage odor into the main floor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's just
all the things you look for.
I'm just curious. It was noticed by, you know, identified by this stock photo agency in Texas. So somebody working there is just trolling the internet or trolling for images and recognizing.
Or they're a philatelist. They collect stamps. Stamps are their life.
Yeah. If that was a guy who figured it out, though, you know he's gotten laid based on that story.
Yeah.
Oh, who am I?
I'm the guy who busted the forever stamp scandal wide open.
And the person's like, oh my God, I am dripping. I can't believe it's a celebrity.
10.5 billion stamps, you said?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Holy. Oh Lord.
Well, speaking of dripping, we got some cool stuff about paper towels,
Absolutely.
I think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So,
tell us about it, Danny.
Oh, don't mind if I do. In 1907, the Scott Paper Company of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, introduced paper towels to the marketplace to help prevent the spread of colds from cloth towels in restrooms. You know, you see all these people historically, when they sneeze, they use a handkerchief, and that always struck me as a little bit gross. I know people use them in real life, and it's still your germs, but still, it's riddled with germs, even after you wash it. And the popular belief was that these paper towels, that they were invented invented partly by accident. It was a solution of what to do with a railroad car full of long paper rolls meant for toilet paper that were found to be unsuitable to be cut into rolls of toilet paper. So in 1931 rolls around, the Scott Paper Company of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, as we've established, introduces paper towels for kitchens, and now they are the leading manufacturer of paper towels.
Wow. And here's something else, too. I've never realized this. I thought they were just because it was like paper and it was like kind of clothy that it soaked up water, but paper towels actually soak up water because they're so loosely woven it enables the water to travel in between them against gravity. So that's how paper
so
towels
that
work.
Quilting really is working in your favor. Don't think the brawny man's trying to pull one over on you. He is flexing for your benefit.
That quilted is definitely that's neat. You always take stuff like that for granted, at least I do, you know, because I've had it around my whole life. You know, then when you find out how long it's been around, or when it's still relatively new.
I shudder to think of a pre-paper towel era.
Fuck that. You know what I mean? Like, I used paper towels for so much.
It's weird how, like, you know, you watch the news and you see a lot of people do dumb stuff, or if you're political at all, you just like, for me, I'm liberal, so I watch Fox News, and I'm like, how is it possible these people are so stupid? But then, and you know, you think of yourself as a smart person, but then you see, like, someone made the paper towel, and if I spent my entire life trying to make the paper towel, I couldn't do it. Like, there's so many geniuses. Yeah. Like I know mother is the necessity of invention. That makes no sense. Necessity is a mother of invention, but, like, I still don't understand how people do this. Like, very basic stuff, like that paper towels are right behind you.
Yeah.
It's kind of genius. Even, like, the roll is kind of genius, mm-hmm. and even the... I couldn't even make the little thing in between. Like, I mean, that holds it together. What is that? What am I talking
about? Paper towel roll?
The roll. Like, the actual roll that like it comes. I couldn't even do that. Yeah. Geniuses made all of this stuff that we're sitting on. I couldn't do any of it. Yeah, I don't even know what.
They really made lemonade out of some overly long.
That's what
lemons
most
there.
Of the last few hundred years were.
Yeah.
Is just like, people
oops,
making lemonade.
Oops, we fucked up. How do we play this off?
Yeah.
It really is a thing where, you know, they've just. Like, I do stand-up. I'm a comedian. I moved out here because I'm not smart enough to invent things.
Yeah.
And you look at, you know, back then, people, you know, I'm 31. I don't know how
old I'm 30.
You're 30. So 31 and 30, and I haven't invented anything. You haven't invented anything. Back in 1907, people our age were inventing multiple things.
They died like 5 years later.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they also accomplished more than I feel like we've done in our entirety. And it's,
well, they had less time to do it. So I think the urge and the sense of importance and urgency was there.
Yeah. Here's something. You guys want to fucking feel old and feel like miserable with what you've accomplished?
Yeah, bring it on. I'm feeling pretty good today, but let's change
here's
that.
Here's something for those of you working 9-to-5s that want to feel bad about your lives. My brother sent me this. It's the surprising ages of the founding fathers on July 4th.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Here's something to really make you feel like you haven't done anything. On July 4th, 1776 is when they signed the Declaration of Independence, and that's when everybody's like, hey, we're a free country, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
My brother sent me a list of the ages of some of the people that are more well known.
Some of these are pretty staggering.
And, James Monroe, he was 18 when he signed the Declaration of Independence. Alexander Hamilton was 21 when he signed the Declaration of Independence. Aaron Burr, who was the third vice president,
and the guy who dueled and murdered
Alexander
Hamilton.
He was only 20. Now.
So he must have wanted to drink, but he couldn't.
Oh, man, yeah.
So he's jealous of Abraham.
Thomas Jefferson was only 33. That's 2 years older than me, and he's like, all right, I got 2 years to man. And then Paul Revere was 41. George Washington was only 44.
Samuel Adams was 53. That's like the right statesman.
Samuel Adams. That's how old I thought all of those people were like 50. Yeah. I thought all of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence were like 50 years old.
I think it's weird because you see them with white wigs.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably what throws you.
Yeah, they just have like beautiful buzz cuts underneath.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Yeah, like what did
James Monroe had cornrows.
Yeah, exactly.
What did George Washington and Thomas Jefferson look like underneath the wigs? Were they just like bros?
Yeah.
Like out underneath, like,
Washington had a graphic fade.
Yeah, like
he had King George's face shaved into the back of his head.
I think though that once you hit 30, it's like, you know, when you're growing up, you hear 30 as like this big marker, right?
Yeah.
And now you realize, oh, that's like the beginning of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think the comforting thing for me about turning 30 was, I either wanted to accomplish things by the time I was 30 or by the time I died.
Yeah.
So now I just have the rest of my life to do very small things. Yeah. And that's okay. Like, there's no pressure. It's, like, totally okay.
Yeah.
That's very odd. 18? He's not a father.
He's like the founding son or like the founding young adult.
Yeah.
Fuck James Monroe.
James Monroe. Well, they brought him in to appeal to the cool, youthful, revolutionary demographic.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining these hot, sexy young kids, but with the powdered wigs on as well. So it's a nice dichotomy. I want to see that in like a CW series like that. All like the really glossy actors and actresses they have, but then just like cover them in bullshit. Just like
I just love that's what they thought like being smart was. Mm-hmm. They're like, you better look esteemed. Let's put power on you.
You need to look like you need to look like a judge. You need to look like
a
you
have a self hatred.
Yeah.
Weird.
18. Yeah. Betsy Ross. She's the girl who invented essentially the American flag.
Yeah, America's first graphic designer.
Yeah, exactly. She was only 24 years old.
God, she would have killed on Threadless.
Man, can you imagine? put her on Etsy nowadays. Yeah. Sure. So long.
Well, you know, that's we're just talking a little bit about how some of these ages are a little depressing to think about, but There are more pressing issues to be depressed about.
Absolutely.
Thank God they took the initiative, because without them, this podcast wouldn't exist. I haven't read the alternate histories, but... So, according to the World Wildlife Foundation, this bums me out. Basically, the same number of polar bears left in existence is the same number of juggalos that attend the gathering of the juggalos each year. According to the World Wildlife Foundation, there's about 20,000 to 25,000 polar bears left. It's a bit tricky to pin down the exact number of juggalos on Earth. Over 1.1 million people like ICP Insane Clown Posse on Facebook, and about 20,000 juggalos regularly attend the gathering, which is usually in the wilds of Ohio or Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
If you don't know what the gathering of the juggalos is, Google it. There's a really horrific first-person account from Vice.
I'd feel way safer at a gathering of the polar bears.
Yes. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There wouldn't be like a... ecstasy for pharmaceuticals trade, or
can we ship the juggalos up to where the polar bears are?
I don't know if the polar bears will eat them. There's too much Faygo in their system.
Oh, man. Oh God, I don't like the juggalos because they're so humorless about themselves.
Yeah.
It's like someone said this to me the other day. We were talking about Insane Clown Posse, and it's like, they make you miss the band Kiss, which I didn't think was possible.
Yeah.
You know, like, Kiss is not a good band, but if you're going to go with a band in face paint, it's like, oh, I'd rather die
of than course.
Listen to Insane Clown Posse. Like, it is one of those deal breakers.
Yeah.
It's one of those deal breakers. If you kind of like some Insane Clown Posse, like, whatever, but if you're a juggalo, game over.
Dude, a juggalo is all a lifestyle choice. In my hometown, there were juggalos living down the street from me.
Yeah.
And I do have to commend them on this Insane Clown Posse.
You don't have to.
Records. Yeah. Well, no, they have like the most brilliant marketing scheme.
Yeah.
Because every juggalo, everything they wear is something from their label, and their stuff is not expensive. Like, they'd be wearing like these $80 like football jerseys with the little hatchet man, just like psychopathic killer or something on the back. And like, everything in their wardrobe is Insane Clown Posse related.
If you wanted to, I mean, they definitely have a handle like L. Ron Hubbard. You know, he's famous.
Yeah.
He's famous for saying, if you want to become a millionaire, start a religion or start a cult.
So he did.
And I feel like if you're against organized religion and you still want to do that, I feel like ICP mastered that. Like, they created that cult.
They've got a whole like religious pantheon element called the Dark Carnival.
Holy cow! Like,
that's a whole another can of poorly wrapped worms.
I've many times when stoned just really salivated over the fact that it's possible in the scheme of the world that Sasha Malia could date juggalos. You know what I mean? Because I don't think the world would get more surreal.
That
David Lynch would be like, how did I not think of that? You know? And it would be like the greatest thing ever, because you would see Barack like trying to show acceptance, you know? And he'd just be like, I can't. Fuck that guy.
Yeah,
you can't date her.
I'm sorry.
But I so want
that. But I love him, Daddy.
Imagine. Just like, juggalos haven't broken into the mainstream yet. Scientology had a good run. They're failing now. But they were in the mainstream. Insane Clown Posse, they're not interested in the takeover, I don't think.
Yeah,
which is fine.
They,
I suppose I shouldn't hate them. But
they want to be a subculture, and they sort of thrive on attracting people who feel like they're on the outside of X, Y, or
which
Z group.
Smart.
Yeah, I mean, so it's just like
the scheme of cult school.
Yeah, it's just they swoop in like a falcon and snatch up high school field mice and bring them back to their
Now you mentioned lair. You mentioned Kiss. I got to mention this. I'm not a huge fan of Kiss, but a few of their songs are really catchy, just straight up easy rock and roll songs. But as silly, I went and seen them. I got free tickets to see them when I first moved out to Los Angeles, and that was the only time I've ever seen them live. The first time I seen them live, I didn't know what to expect. I expected so much more because of how big they are and how big of a Kiss army they have. But literally, every song was them introducing, in some sort of pun way or something like that, the song like Peter Criss or Ace Frehley. One of them, whoever the star man is. Who's the fucking...
Gene Simmons?
No, he's the one
No,
with the
wasn't
tongue.
That a... Was that Frehley?
Ace Frehley? No, Ace Frehley.
But he was the cat?
Ace Frehley. Peter Criss was the cat. Ace Frehley was the star man who got kicked
the
out.
The star bearer.
Paul Stanley. There we go. Paul
the
Stanley.
Process of elimination.
Paul Stanley's the guy with the star. And he's sitting there and he's like, oh, I'm... And he's like acting like he's got a headache. And he's like, oh, I'm not feeling so well. And he's like, I got a fever. Somebody should call me a doctor. And then Gene Simmons is like, a doctor? And then Paul Sanders is like, yeah, somebody call me a doctor of love. And then they just busted into Dr. Love. And I'm just like, I'm watching this, and I'm just laughing in hysterics at how cheesy they are. Like, they're old in makeup.
Oh, yeah.
It was so funny.
It's always bands like that that give you hope, though. Because yeah. you're like, oh, yeah. I can just do dumb stuff.
They're getting paid millions of dollars to do this, and they're how old?
All the sex they want. They get into every party. You know, everyone bows down to them. Even if you hate them, you're probably like, holy shit, Kiss is here just because they're Kiss.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's so funny. Like, it's so... I don't know how they did it, but I like you got to kind of shake their hands for mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
Oh
you
no.
Have to.
No, honestly, any artist of any kind that makes it, congratulations.
Absolutely.
I mean, honestly, wow. Like that is unbelievable. But it more tells me more about the culture.
Yeah.
It's like it's not their fault that people are dumb enough to like them.
No.
It's not their fault at all. Congratulations.
Congrats. Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. Here, while we're on the topic of music, here's something. I don't know if any of you guys like to go sing karaoke or any of that type of stuff. But I have friends that like to go karaoke, and one thing about karaoke is whenever I see bad karaoke, it's either two thoughts come into my brain is, one, are they really bad at karaoke and they think they're great because, you know, their whole family's like, oh, you're so good or whatever. Or two, are they just fucking with everybody and singing badly.
Just messing around.
And just messing around with us. But back to the origin of the word karaoke is Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a compound word of Japanese kara, which means empty, and okasutora, which means orchestra. So essentially karaoke in Japanese means empty orchestra,
mm-hmm.
which is the derivative of karaoke, which is you're singing over an empty orchestra. There's no orchestra behind you, and you're singing along to music.
Another Japanese language fun fact.
Okay.
I don't know if I've mentioned this in the podcast before, but it's one of my favorite weird translations. The Japanese word for muscle is kiniku, and that translates directly, if you break it down, to energy meat.
Okay.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I would definitely go to the gym more if I was working on my energy.
Yeah, I would. I want to turn this from like energy filet mignon into energy, porterhouse.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't do karaoke because I know that I am so bad that it is painful for other people to listen to. Yeah. And I think people think, I'm scared. It's like, I don't care. I'll sing a fucking song, you know, but it actually will be a bad 4 minutes for everyone else involved. It's like, it's a detriment. So if, like, it's like, the unhappiness they have by me not participating is not as bad as it would be if you had to listen to me sing Shoop. You know? Like, it's just like a horrible thing. Or like the girl part in Summer Nights, Greece. Like, it's just a terrible... I wish I had a good voice just so it didn't hurt people.
Yeah.
See, I'm not a terrible singer. I'm not making any claims to be a great singer by any way you slice it, but... My issue with karaoke is that usually the song I want to sing, it will just, like, no one wants to hear it. Mm. No one, especially in a crowded-ass room,
is
wants
it ICP?
To hear it. No. that's just for me.
Yeah.
I'm recording a covers album. No, it's like no one wants to hear. I want to sing, like, Morrissey, and nothing will kill a party faster in, like, a crowded sports bar than Morrissey.
Yeah.
That's so funny. My friends and I, we used to go, back in the day, we'd go karaoke songs, and every song... no matter what song we'd sing it as if we were the dude from the B-52s.
Oh, what's his name? Fred.
Fred something, yeah. So, like, no matter what song we were singing, we'd sing it like this. Hey!
Rock Lobster!
And then yeah. just added, made it funny.
I'm also impressed that karaoke's still a thing. Like it's yeah. it's really holding
That's
in there. People
thing.
Still do it all the time.
All
yeah,
the time.
It's super super popular. I've people take it very seriously. Yeah. So much. It's even more in Japan. Like it's sort of like a work obligation for many people. Like you go out with your boss and your coworkers after work, and you go for drinks, and you guys get wasted, and then you go to do karaoke. So much so that they actually recently came out with. Single person karaoke booths, so you can go and practice and get your karaoke better. Or for people who just love karaoke and love singing, but they don't want to be around other people. So if you're a misanthrope or if you just you want to practice, head over to Japan.
There are places in K-Town, Koreatown here in Los Angeles, where it originated over, in Korea and Japan and all of that. It's a karaoke venue where you rent rooms out.
Oh yeah, that's the main style over in Japan. The big stage with like everyone in the bar watching. That's more of an American.
That's an American thing.
Yeah.
In Japan and in Koreatown here in Los Angeles, you rent a room out that can hold like 10 people. It can hold 5 people. You rent it out per hour. And sing however
and
many
those
songs
places
you
are. Those places are great because then you get like the totally incongruous music videos where it'll be like an Asian man with long flowing hair jackhammering at a construction site while like Fergie plays over the top. It's a real treat.
That's
you also
weird.
Have like the little phone in the wall so you can just call and they'll tell them what you want and they'll bring the drinks right to your room.
It's just interesting that there's a whole culture where people go out so they can listen to people do something worse.
Yeah.
Than the thing they already have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very interesting.
Well, it's sort of like Halloween to a lesser extent. People make these costumes of things that already exist and go out and do them. They're just trying to imitate things they love.
Here's a random fact. It costs $25,000 for a mountaineer to buy a single permit to climb Mount Everest.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you're planning on climbing Everest, you're going to be pretty serious about it.
There's an expensive hobby. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. But it's like it's paying a lot to maybe die.
Yeah. How much do you think it costs to do like an Everest expedition?
This is just the
need
permit.
To live.
This is just the permit.
Like your tent, because I imagine you're going to have to drop like several thousand on like high quality
on top of training and all of that. So I mean, it's easily if you want to climb Mount Everest, I got to imagine at least costs like upwards of 50.
You're gonna have to start a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo.
I would think more because you got different people.
You need the Sherpa, you need the
insurance.
Food.
It's like
crazy. Yeah. Oh God, Everest.
Why would you want to climb Everest?
Everest insurance must be a bitch. Like the deductible must be through the roof.
Yeah. Oh my God, why would you ever want to do that? Just go climb another mountain.
Exactly.
That's not Everest. Like, how insecure do you have to be that you have to climb Everest? That is so crazy.
Yeah, I don't. That baffles. Like, I like doing, I like doing dangerous things. And
like what? What does that mean?
I don't know. I like, I'm
rollerblading indoors.
As far as my, my cost of living right now, I don't do, I don't go travel and do a lot of that things, but it interests me.
Uh-huh.
Like, I would like to do, like, I've had friends, climb mountains in Japan, and that really interests me. And I go hiking a lot, and I love roller coasters. I love earthquakes. I love the feel for that. I like, feeling like weightless. Like, I would love to go up into space and all that. So I like stuff like that, but I don't like the cold. So I'd be fine if there was a warm Mount Everest.
There's a hot ass mountain.
If there's like a 100-degree, 200-degree mountain I could climb, I would do that over climbing Mount Everest just because I don't like the cold. But believe it or not, mount climbing stuff like that does interest me because, it's a feat to do.
Yeah, it is. Definitely it's an accomplishment. It's something that you can
like. I want
a
base jump.
Only a handful of people have summited Everest.
Like in the perfect world, if I had a ton of money, I'd learn how to base jump. I'd learn how to, skydive, all of that stuff that really, why would you want to jump out of a perfectly good airplane? I get you got a parachute, but it is still kind of stupid.
This Mountain Dew is not going to
drink
itself.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you skydove before?
No, I haven't.
I have. Skydove, whatever. I have, and I was always amazed by, because the first time you go, most of the time you have to have an instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time you go, if you take the right training course, you can go by yourself. And maybe sometimes you can go by yourself the first time. But I don't understand why you'd ever want to go by yourself. Like, as opposed to... I mean, most people do. Like, who do it, they're like, I want to go by myself. That's the real thing. But I think It's just interesting. It's interesting how boring life is that you have to yeah. push yourself to these degrees. You're like, no, I don't want to just jump out of a plane. I want to be completely by myself. Yeah, I don't exactly. want another person to help me. That's yeah. what I want my life to be.
I just yeah. want to cut my chances of surviving yeah. this in half. Man,
so crazy.
Yeah, like I'd like to jump out by my. I've never done it, but I wouldn't mind jumping out by myself. However, I wouldn't want to just like buy one ticket up on the plane. I'd rather go with like a group of friends
mm-hmm.
and then jump out together, but still be by myself.
Imagine how sad your life is if you've gotten to the point where jumping out of a plane is boring.
Yeah. yeah.
That's well, why that's
where
why
do you,
I
where
don't,
do you go from there? What do you do?
Yeah, that's jump, why I don't do a lot of drugs.
I think call, that's when you become a juggalo.
Call up yeah, Red Bull.
You're right.
Call up Red Bull and have them jump you out from oh space God. Like that one dude.
Have you seen Felix Baumgartner?
Yeah, he's the dude who jumps
they
from
just
space.
Released the 9-minute video, first person, where you can see all his vitals and stuff.
Oh, man.
And the first person video of him, he did he pretty much did the jump from space last year, where he fell free fall of 128,000 feet. It's really stunning stuff. Just put that on like 1080p HD and then mm-hmm. sit back and relax. It's mm-hmm.
Oh, I was just to what you said a second ago. It'd be amazing if once you decided to become a juggalo, it did feel like free falling all the time. Yeah. Like if that's how good it was and yeah. we just had no idea. They're like, no, it's like meditating, man. It's the greatest thing in the world. I always feel at peace. And I'm like, wait, oh, okay. You just see, need to put wait. A little paint on. That's a secret to life.
Yeah. Just abide by the tenets of the Dark Carnival. Yeah. Live your life strictly for
it
your
It probably
ninjas.
Is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I just
We just
shit
don't
on
know.
It.
We just, yeah. It's, well, it's, easy. I just it's don't easier have... to shit on things than to become a juggalo.
I just feel like I don't. If all of the juggalos accept each other, like if you stroll in there with makeup and all of a sudden you're best friends with everybody, I don't have that many friends. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends, but I feel like to have like 20,000 people accept you right away
yeah.
and to think, have your exact same thoughts, no mm-hmm. matter how wrong they are, I wouldn't mind. Yeah, I wouldn't
but
mind
these
that.
Are the same friends that if you like do one thing wrong, will start hurling garbage and bottles yeah, at you. Yeah.
Well, the only problem with becoming a juggalo is then you have to listen to ICP.
yeah.
Which is definitely, that's worse than prison.
I feel like can we start a Kickstarter for like, you know how like back in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was like all the teen movies, like She's All That, where they dressed up a nerdy girl to look hot and to infiltrate the hot area. Can we write a movie that has like normal people infiltrating the juggalo
the gathering
of the juggalos, where yeah. we dress them up like juggalos and they go in and they end up making friends and end up really becoming.
What if there's someone who just loves dressing up and acting like a juggalo but only likes listening to like Taylor Swift? Like they don't like listening to ICP, they just love the costume.
I'm more in it for the aesthetic.
Yeah.
One quick fact before we're reaching our time here. I don't know if any of you watched Nickelodeon as a child.
Oh, sure mm-hmm. did.
But I never realized this until I read this, and it made complete sense to me. The set of Double Dare, you guys remember the show Double Dare?
Of course, hosted by Mark Summers, yeah, who now hosts Unwrapped on Food Network.
Yeah, and he's also supposedly suffers from severe OCD.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah, isn't he a big germaphobe?
Yeah, huge germaphobe. Supposedly, the set of Double Dare was designed to resemble a bathroom.
Makes sense. Imagine they were really into that sort of grossed out aesthetic. Gross, like you had to crawl through an ear full of wax to find a flag.
Blue tiles and all of that.
Pretty intense. There was a child show where like something called gack would come on your face.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, here's something interesting about gack, the famous green slime that originated on You Can't Do That on Television. The ingredients: cream of wheat, green food coloring, Johnson's baby shampoo, vegetable oil, and occasionally cottage cheese. And it originally had cream of wheat in there. Unfortunately, the hot lights on set for Double Dare would bake the cream of wheat, so they had to substitute that for applesauce. And the name Gack, this is a kicker.
Yeah.
The name Gack was actually the street name for heroin at the time.
Oh, okay.
And it was given this nickname by the crew of the show, who had a reputation for recreational drug use.
Okay.
So that's kids were just getting face full of green heroin.
Well, that's the thing too, is like when you think about it, like on all those kids shows, it was all like people like us that worked on it.
Yeah,
you know, and like,
and it's a lot of colors and a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah.
Also, if you're making entertainment for for children, then something happened in your childhood that you're trying to reclaim.
Exactly,
so nothing good is there.
So I always used to think, like, what if your dad? What if his job was he was like the temple guard on Legend of the Hidden Temple, who just jumps out and has to grab kids all day? Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, like on Animaniacs, if you rewatch it as an adult, there's so many inside jokes and so many references that adults only
that you
get as an adult that as a child
they
you
made
didn't
a reference
get.
To fingerprints and fingering prints that is pretty out there.
That's, and when you think about it, it's because they're making a children's show, but adults like us, our age, have to work on it and to write it, so they're going to make what's funny to them.
Pixar has that. You know, Shrek has that, too. Yeah. There was, like, a Shrek joke where, I think it was Shrek 3, where the guy, I don't know who's coming through town, but maybe it was Shrek, and then someone runs out of a Starbucks and then across the street into another Starbucks.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not for kids.
Exactly.
That's not for kids.
Yeah, funny. They'll just like that he's running.
Yeah.
Well,
that's about us.
I think that wraps up this week's episode. Jake, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on. It was fun.
So where can people find you on the World Wide Web?
What do you have to promote?
My sketch group, Women, at womencomedy.com. I have a Twitter account, WeismanJake, WeismanJake. And I post most stuff at those places.
Awesome. Okay. So head over to Twitter.
Do you have any,
follow them.
Do you have any shows coming up in L.A. or around the... any? Anything.
When is this going
this
to is,
this
air?
Will go up next Monday.
Correct. Not tomorrow Monday. Not so I'll look at while we're chatting here, I'll look on the calendar here. And it's not going to go up on the 11th, but it'll go up on the 18th. So this will debut on November 18th.
I don't remember what shows I have going on, but I will say that just keep Jesus in your mind the whole time, because like no matter where I'm playing, that's like who I'm working for.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, that's the kind of message we like to go out on.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you have any questions about this week's episode, want to talk to us, let us know your thoughts, have a fact that you'd like to share with us, you can also find us on the World Wide Web. On Twitter, the show is at TWL Podcast, TWLpodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook, Today We Learned with Razzle and Dan. Or if you want to talk to us individually, you have to know your host, you can find us on Twitter as well. I am at Osteoferocious, and Razzle is...
at My Name is Razzle 2.
The number 2.
The number 2. Which
you guys should get it by now.
Here's the thing. This is coming out in 2 weeks. I've been debating about this. Just follow me at My Name is Razzle, because I'm probably going to end up changing that. I'm going to swap them around.
If you just look for Razzle, you'll find
him. Look for Razzle. You'll find me on Twitter.
He's out there.
And I'm out there.
Cool. Well, guys, thanks a lot. We hope you learned something.
Absolutely.
And as always, read a book.
Read a book.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.